All right, so tonight we're going to start the subject. I assume it's not going to be only tonight. And I hope this will be more of a discussion type of topic because I can't say that I am an authority on the topic. A purpose of life, I put a my in parentheses, so it's kind of more of a personal question for each of us. But the truth is, we're actually going to start out with the purpose of life in general, just to be more ambitious. Or actually, it's probably less ambitious than trying to figure out what the purpose of each individual person's life is. With that, we're gonna get to as we continue. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but we'll start with in general. And when you talk about Judaism's view in about the purpose of life, so as with almost every single subject, there are different viewpoints, of course. And what's interesting over here is that sometimes even within a certain thinker, you seem to have different viewpoints. And so the challenge over there is usually to try to figure out if it's really different viewpoints or if there's really one viewpoint and we just need to understand it in different ways. I have kind of artificially broken down this question into three answers. I don't know whether there really are three answers. I don't know if everybody who we're about to quote would agree that they're all saying different things, or they may even say that they're not even saying what I say that they're saying, or they may say that they don't agree with each other. I don't know, but we'll do our best. When attacking this question, you want to try to find somebody who really takes it on head on, who writes something that starts the sentence with something like, "The purpose of life is." Right? Because you don't find that often. That's not really the way that most of Jewish literature works. You know, usually if you do find somebody saying something about it, it's kind of in a roundabout way, or you have to extrapolate from something else that they say. One of the few exceptions to this rule is the Ramchal. The Ramchal actually, in general, not an expert on the Ramchal, but from what I know, he actually wrote very directly about a lot of different things. And this is one of the things that he wrote directly on. We're going to read his piece in Mesilat Yesharim. I think it's first of all, it's foundational. Mesilat Yesharim is one of the main books of Musar and philosophy in Judaism, written in the 16th century by Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto of Luzzatto Restaurant in Ra'anana fame.
And Rechov Ramchal fame.
And Rav Ramchal fame. He actually was he had a hard life because he was so great and unfortunately was so close in chronological proximity to Shabtai Tzvi that he suffered from it because he had a great following and he was very big into Kabbalah and so people were worried that he considered himself a messianic figure and so he fled his hometown and he kind of had to travel from place to place. And he
which
did
was
not
his
live
home, which was his hometown?
in Italy. I don't know exactly his hometown, but he had to flee. He had to leave. He was asked to. He was forced to leave and to go from place to place. But he wrote several works, the most famous of which are Mesilat Yesharim and Derech Hashem. He wrote other works, Da'at Tfunot. I'm not an expert. Actually, Harry Amdur, who lives in Ra'anana, is a big expert in the Ramchal. Let's take a look at what he writes right at the beginning of his Sefer Mesilat Yesharim. I'll read the Hebrew in the beginning, because it's just so important, but you can read along in the English. He said, and here, by the way, you can see his style, the first four words.
He's from Padua.
Padua. And where did he eventually go?
Akko.
Akko. Oh, he made it to Israel. Okay. So the first four words in the Hebrew, in the first chapter of Mesilat Yesharim, start with the letters Yud, Hey, and Vav, and Hey. That's something that was quite common. Another famous thinker who did that, anybody know? Started his book with the letters Yud and Hey and then Vav and Hey. It's the Rambam, the Sefer Mishneh Torah. He sowed, I forget now, but he also starts the same way. So the Ramchal writes, Yisod Chasidut v'shorash ha'avodah tmimah hu sheyitbarer v'yitamet etzel ha'adam ma chobato ba'olamo. Okay, so let's just sit on that for a second. When he said the words chasidut, you'll notice that it's translated as piety, which is proper. Chasidut as a sociological movement didn't exist at the time. Chasidut just meant a person who is saintly. So he says the foundation of religiosity and the root of proper service of God is that a person should make clear to himself and true. You have to be careful when the Ramchal uses two words when he could use one. Number one, that he should make clear to himself and come to make it true to himself. What is his obligation in the world? And he should figure out what he should put his focus on in terms of what he's going to do his whole life. Now, what's interesting is that there's an implicit assumption over here that a person has an obligation.
Yeah.
Right? He starts off right there. That when a person is trying to figure out what he's supposed to be doing, he should see it as an obligation. Ma chovato ba'olamo.
Because I was thinking that the question wasn't really a good question, because it already begs the question that there is a purpose to life.
Right.
You know?
And not only is there a purpose, but you're obliged in the purpose. Now, the sting will come out in the next sentence. Because what he says is, this is interesting, what do the rabbis say? Sh'adam lo nivra, elo lehitaneg al Hashem, v'leyanot miziv shchinato. Shezeu tanug amiti v'haidun agadol mikol haidunim sheyicholim leimatzei. He starts out very harsh. Starts out, a person should make clear to himself and make true to himself what his obligation in the world is. But what does it turn out the obligation is? To have a good time. It turns out that the obligation is that the purpose of us being here is to delight in God and to derive pleasure in Ziva Shechina, which is the greatest pleasure you could possibly have. In other words, according to the Ramchal, the purpose of man on earth is to derive pleasure. With the caveat of understanding that a person should go after the greatest pleasure which there is, which is to get closer to God. And in the end, by the way, Olam Haba is the ultimate place where this reward, where I shouldn't use the word reward, where this pleasure is going to come into being, because that's what it was created for. So then, what's the next question going to be? Well, if that's the case, then why do we have to pass go and collect $200? Let's go straight to Olam Haba.
Why do you have to work?
We have to do all this stuff.
Why do you have to work? Why do you have pleasure going to a movie or pleasure going out?
Oh, and why are there other pleasures? Good question. So he says, "Achaderech kidei lagia lemechos chaseinu zeh huzeh olam." The way to get to Olam Haba is to go through this world. You have to go through the path. This world is like a corridor to Olam Haba. That's in Pirkei Avot, Perek Dalet. The way to do it, so the way to get there is through this world and doing the mitzvot. You can't do mitzvot in Olam Haba, only in this world. So the way to get close to God is through the mitzvot and then to go to Olam Haba, but you can't get there without going through this world and doing the mitzvot. Therefore, we'll jump around a little bit. He says, "Ayom la'asotam, machar l'kabel scharam." And then what does he say? Here, if we go jump ahead, and he says, "Ukushitistakel badavar." When you peer into the thing, the perfect perfection, the real perfection, is cleaving to God, is coming closer to Him. That's what David said. He says, being close to God is what's good for me. That's what he wants to be, as close to God as he could possibly get. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Through the commandments in this world, you can achieve closeness with God, and then in the next world, you get to enjoy that. You get to enjoy that.
So you sort of create your own Olam Haba.
100%.
You're putting off your enjoyment, is what he's saying. The true enjoyment is in the next world, so don't worry about any pleasures, it sounds to me.
Yeah.
Don't worry about pleasures now. Concentrate on the Olam Haba, live your life the right way, and you'll enjoy the pleasures of Olam Haba.
That's right. If you go to the bottom, he says, the last paragraph in the bottom, I'm reading in the Hebrew, V'heim Vehem samu hakadosh baruch hu la'adam b'makom sh'rabim bo hamarchikim otom ben yitbarach. Hashem put man in a place where there are many things that obstruct him, that move him farther away from God. Why would he do that? What happens if you go after all those pleasures? The further you veer from the path for the other pleasures, the further you get from the proper path. You're put in a big war. All these things are tests for man. Ha'oni mitzad echad, v'ha'osher mitzad echer. Some people are tested by poverty. Some people are tested by richness, by wealth. But he says, ha'shalva mitzad echad, some people are tested by complacency. V'yisurin mitzad echad, some people are tested by suffering. Ad sh'nimset ha'milchama elav panim v'achor. We are surrounded by all kinds of things that are going to pull us away from where the goodness is. But if you manage to make it through all of this, says, if you're valiant and you make it through all of this, then you'll be the one who enters into the palace. You go through the corridor and you enter the palace, and you'll be able to enjoy the idun, the pleasure that you have earned. Okay. So kind of recap. According to the Ramchal, purpose of life is ultimately to get pleasure. It only makes sense then to get the best pleasure. The best pleasure is to bask in the glory of God, in His light. The Ramchal, at least at this stage, doesn't seem to be saying that this world is the place for that. He does not seem to be saying that you can, at least over here, that you can bask in the light of God in this world. He may be saying it in other places, but he certainly doesn't say it here. He clearly is pushing it off to later. And he's saying the purpose of this world, though...
Who's Mokum Hayidon? Is that
Olam Haba. Makom Hayidon Hazeh. The place of this pleasure.
Of this great pleasure. That's not assuming there's other pleasure, which is the ultimate.
No, he's saying there is one great pleasure. That's to bask in the glory of God, which we can't understand, obviously. And it's reserved for the next world. But in order to get there and to fully do it, you have to go through this world and through its nisyonot and its mitzvot. That's the way to do it. So according to the Ramchal, again, the purpose of life is pleasure, and the path towards that pleasure is through mitzvot. That's the system that God created.
The purpose of life is pleasure, but you're saying that we can't get that pleasure in this world.
It certainly sounds that way, according to the Ramchal over here.
According to him, whatever pleasure I do derive in this world, from a good meal or a good entertainment, though
potentially
that is really just nothing, just worthless.
It's worthless. It's maybe worse than worthless.
It isn't what you have.
It may be worse than worthless because it could distract you. Uh-huh. Now that there are mitzvot that entail pleasure that may even require pleasure, as part of their performance. But, according to the Ramchal, aside from that, you're just distracting yourself.
Isn't there something in the Torah about lo avanti Hashem b'simcha?
100%. But that could mean you should enjoy what you're doing because you realize, it could mean you realize that what you're doing is the ultimate good because it's going to bring you to the next world. There's nothing wrong with that pleasure, for sure.
Yeah.
Certainly nothing wrong with that pleasure. And I assume the Ramchal would also agree with the Rambam that mental health is important, in terms of being able to perform the mitzvot. If you're always depressed all the time, then you won't be able to perform the mitzvot, and you won't get the ultimate pleasure. So there's a fine line. It's not the time, to discuss this. We talked a little bit about when we were talking about fun, but there's a fine line between keeping your eyes on the prize, right, of Olam Haba, but at the same time, keeping sane in this world. I don't know if we've discussed there's a general machloket amongst the Rishonim about we did discuss this the last time we met. Barbara, you weren't here the last time when we talked about Kedusha, and we talked about the machlokas, seeming machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban about whether or not we should be enjoying this world. The Ramban says that being a Nazir, you remember, being a Nazir is the highest form of Judaism because you're mamash divorcing yourself from the world. Whereas Rashi says, no, that's an Aveira. That's why it's a Chet. He brings a Chatas because he becomes a Nazir. So there's that. But just staying on path, the Ramchal just says that the next world is the ultimate place for the great pleasure, and that's really why we're here. We're here to get through this world and into the next.
So I guess you can say that you can have the same thing and enjoy it in different ways. Like if you have a meal, you know, and if you just eat it like you make a bracha, but if it doesn't mean anything, you just eat the meal like a glutton, then that's, whereas if you're eating it to get strength and to with a recognition of the bracha that you've got food, then
right.
it's a different way of eating.
1,000%, yeah, 100%, you know, definitely. Everything can be done in different ways, and depending on how you do it, it could have completely different effects. Definitely. This definitely finds its place in the Mishnah in Makot. Rabbi Chanan Mekasha Omer, Tzakadosh Baruch Hu Zakot at Yisrael, Lefichach Yerbelem Torah Mitzvot, Shneamar, Danei Chafetz Matzikot Tadur HaVedir. What does that mean? He wants to lezakot b'nei Yisrael, so he gives more mitzvot? If he wants to be mezakot b'nei Yisrael, he should give us fewer mitzvot, because we keep messing up. But the Ramchal says, no, the more mitzvot you do, the better your Olam Haba is going to be. There's also in Pirkei Avot, I wanted to highlight the idea that Havizar b'mitzvah kalaka b'chal mura, you have to be careful with a small mitzvah as well as with a hard mitzvah, you know, an easy one and a hard one. Not the time to talk about what's an easy mitzvah, what's a hard one. And you might expect, because, you know, the Mishnah should end by saying, because Hashem wants us to do all the mitzvot, right? But how does the Mishnah actually end? She'ena tayodeya matan scharan shel mitzvot, because you don't know what reward is attached to each one. Which seems to be, you know, strongly indicating that a focus is being placed on the ultimate reward for the mitzvot. Havi mechashev schar mitzvah keneged hefseido. It also says in that Mishnah. You should always try to think, you know, what benefit do I get from doing the mitzvah versus what detriment do I get by not doing the mitzvah or by doing an avera.
This also tells me that certain mitzvahs get more schar than other mitzvahs.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that there are no mitzvahs kalos and no
right.
mitzvahs kamuros.
Or that there are some mitzvahs. No, there definitely are mitzvahs kalos and kamuros, but it also means that there's also some mitzvahs that get more reward than others.
And since I don't know, it tells me that there are some mitzvahs that have more reward.
You know what? I mean, okay. I can read it from my phone, but
no.
It's hard. So that's what it says in Pirkei Avot. Now, interestingly, like I said, sometimes people will say things, different things. So I'm going to read you another quote from the Ramchal. And this is from Da'at Tfunot. And I'll read it in Hebrew and I'll explain it. Hayesod harishon hu shiratza ratzon elyon shiya adam mashlim et atzmo ve'et kol nivra b'shvilo v'za atzmo yezchuto uscharo. The Ramchal says, what did God want? God desired that man should perfect himself and all that was created for him, and this itself will be his merit and his reward. Well, now this sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
Now the Ramchal said, what does God want? God wants that man should perfect himself and perfect the world around him through himself. That is something that he talks about in the Misal Hashem, that everything in the world is here for us to elevate it through our service of God. That's fine. But here he says that that God's focus is that man should perfect himself, and that is its own reward, right? Virtue is its own reward. And scharo sharei sof sof hu yamushlam v'yamitaneg b'tova lenetzach nesachem. So now he fixes it. And the Ramchal fixes it, I say, because he says that that's not contradicting what he says. It's simply that that is the way to go about getting the greatest pleasure. But he's giving us another window into what he means by the greatest pleasure and what he means by getting close to God. What does he mean? He means that man, by perfecting himself, comes closer to being like God, which is the ultimate pleasure, which is what God wants us to get. So now we kind of have this two-tiered system, which, by the way, confuses people sometimes. And it confuses me as well. Sometimes I don't know whether I'm coming or going. It's like a little bit like a snake eating the tail. Because on the one hand, the Ramchal says that the purpose is to get the greatest pleasure. But on the other hand, he says that the purpose is to make us into the best human beings that we can be. Now, the noble person in me says that really it's that second purpose, that it's so that we can be the greatest person that we can be, and the purpose of the pleasure is only to motivate us to be the best we can be, right? That's what I want him to be saying, because then that seems more am I alone there?
Say that again.
What I want him to be saying is that really the ultimate purpose is that we should be the best we can be, that we should be like God, and the pleasure is only there to motivate us to do that. It's the carrot, like Rav Ben Lulavitch. Well, he's talking about that there's this great schar sitting there at the end, this great pleasure that we're going to get, and we're going to get it by being mushlam, by being perfect, by being like God. So what I want him to be saying is that really, what's the ultimate purpose? Why did God create us? So that we could be like him. And then there's this pleasure on the side so that it motivates us to be that way.
Can you not think of it the other way around? That by virtue of, like, most people, if they feel that they're growing and that they're becoming a better person, that brings pleasure.
Right. So that's a very psychological view, and I think it's right. But I also think that the Ramchal is not saying what I said, and he's saying something more like what you said, Barbara, but a little bit even further, because more from a, I guess, metaphysical perspective, he's saying that as you become greater and greater and greater, that has in itself its own pleasure. Not a psychological pleasure like I'm proud of myself, but rather that it itself is its own reward. And the ultimate version of that reward is when you really like Hashem, and the ultimate place where you realize that, because here it's hard to realize that, where you realize that is going to be in Olam Haba. But it's always unclear to me whether he's focused on the pleasure or on the nobleness of being like God. Is that, am I the only one kind of feeling that tension? Am I? It's okay if I am.
I'm not sure.
Yo, what do you think? Okay, that's okay. Now, in that vein, it's interesting that the Vilna Gaon says, well, let's get down to brass tacks. How do you do this? Okay? How do we do this? How do we get all this? So the Ramchal just said mitzvos, right? But the Vilna Gaon takes it another step, and he says, Ikar chiyut ha'adam, hi litchazek tamid b'shvirat ha'midot, v'im lo, lama lo chayim. The primary purpose of man is to constantly strive to break his bad traits, to improve himself. And if not, if he doesn't do that, then what's the point of life? That's what we're here for, the Vilna Gaon says. He says, we're here to break our bad habits. That's what we should be involved with.
I was created to break my bad habits.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a dichotomy there. I was created.
You're created to fix yourself.
Fix.
We started with the Bris Mila, and then we go from there.
He's created to break his bad habits, or that is what he has to do once he's hit?
The purpose of man's life.
Ikar chiyut ha'adam. I don't know. I think they're the same.
As in, like, once he's hit, as in this is what he, because in order to get to the end game, you need to perfect yourself by breaking your bad minutes.
Right.
And that's in line with
what. Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. Yeah, you're right. The Vilna Gaon, over here.
Saying it in a different way.
Over here, the Vilna Gaon could be agreeing with that's why I put him over here, is that he's agreeing with Ramchal that the ultimate goal is lihitaden b'ziv hashchina, right? To enjoy the destination. But the journey, the Vilna Gaon says, is that this world is not for enjoying yourself. It's actually for breaking yourself. It's for breaking yourself down and fixing. It's not for going to baseball games.
Enjoyment isn't relevant at least in this aspect.
No. What's interesting though, and I didn't put it on here, I should have. Actually, it belongs to, the next section, really. Vilna Gaon has another comment in another place that I think doesn't agree with the Ramchal. But maybe we'll deal with it on its own. I did want to say, though, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. I remember when I was in yeshiva, Ravai Marcus telling us that there was a machlokas here between the Vilna Gaon, and I want to say Rav Yisrael Salanter, but I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly who he posed on the other side, that the Vilna Gaon says that the purpose of life is to focus on the things that we're not good at, the things that we're that are bad habits, and fix them. But others say that the purpose of life is to find the things that we are good at and to focus on those things, because those are our...
Oh, that's very modern.
Actually, it's not, because we're actually... I said that I couldn't find the machlokas, but I can find, and it's in the next... it's in the personal purpose. I can show you where somebody very old seemed to have said this.
I'm saying something that's very much like the current philosophy.
Oh, yes. Well,
in everything, in education,
positive psychology, definitely.
Positive psychology, as in, like, you find, as in, everyone can be whatever they want to be, because they find their inner.
Right. So the Vilna Gaon was against that. He said no. It's easy for him to say that, you know.
Yeah, because he was good. I mean,
right, he was good at. He was very good at things.
Like, he'd probably be good at soccer as well.
Right.
He just said you're here to fix all your.
He was definitely. He writes this. It says the whole point of man is shvirat hamidot, to fix what's wrong with you, and not necessarily even your personal things. As a human being, we all have the same flaws. Most of us have the same flaws: our selfishness, our susceptibility to temptation, our pride. We all have the same stuff. Some people have it to a different degree. But that's what he's talking about. He's like, we are here to fix those things, to create nobility. So that's the first one. First, and what I mean by the first one is that this focuses very much on our personal pleasure. It's all about us. Why are we here? Every person should ask that, and they should look inward, and they should say, I am here for me. No? Isn't the Ramchal saying that? Yes. I am here for me. 100%.
I'm not here to improve the world.
I'm not here for you. I mean, it's part of perfecting me is caring about you.
But
that's 100%.
But that's, just
but that's not why
me.
God put me here. God didn't put me here to fix your life. God put me here to make myself into the best I could be so that I could be like him. And part of that is...
As a consequence of that, you're going to improve other people's lives as well.
Right.
Be a positive influence.
Right. But it very much focuses on me. As an individual, I'm here for me. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Right? I think b'nigud to that, if we look at the next one, Rav Chaim of Volozhin, Nefesh HaChaim, we won't read so much of it, but it really the whole book is about this, or at least the whole first shari, the whole first section is about this. What he says is, "Bedimyon ze kivyachol barahu yitbarach et ha'adam." God created man, v'hishlito al ribei rivavan kochot v'holamot in mispar. This is Kabbalistic. The Ramchal, not the Ramchal, Rav Chaim of Volozhin says that God placed man on earth and gave him the ability, the power to affect multiple, let's call them multiple spiritual dimensions, and through that control to affect this world as well. In other words, through his, let's just say, through his tefillah, he can touch the Kisei HaKavod, and then that kind of boomerangs back into the earth, and it does all kinds of things on earth. God gave us, as Jews, the ability to do that through tefillah, through mitzvot, through Torah study. Okay? Why does that matter? He gives us the ability to do that through our actions, our speech, and our thoughts. We bring or and kedusha into the upper worlds. This is the Nefesh Chaim, and if it sounds wild, this is a staple of yeshiva thought for the last 200 years. This is studied in every single yeshiva in the world. Every yeshiva in the world. Sephardi yeshivas as well. Cool. Rav Avadia quotes Nefesh Chaim in his tshuvas. All right, but it's studied everywhere. Okay? But if I were to say in a nutshell, what is he saying? He's saying that why did God create man? So that there would be a man on the ground who could basically finish off or kind of maintain the world that God had created. So this isn't getting into why God created the world itself, but in a way, what the Nefesh HaChaim says is that the purpose of man is to perfect the world through his mitzvot and his Torah. And why is it important to perfect the world? Because the more that man perfects the world, and I'm not talking from like a reform tikkun olam kind of way, I'm talking about by doing mitzvot, by learning tefillah, by sitting in a room alone, by himself, learning Torah. He is perfecting the world. What he does is he brings God into the world. He opens up the windows in Shamayim and lets God's light go from dimension to dimension to dimension into our dimension, where it's the darkest. Our dimension is the darkest, but by opening up the windows, he lets the light in.
What's that got to do with improving yourself?
It doesn't.
It's different.
It doesn't. I'm not going to say that Rav Chaim Avloshin doesn't believe in improving yourself. He was an incredible man. The way that his children describe him, he was incredible. I have to be honest. In the way that what his children wrote about him was that he used to all the time tell them that the only reason you're here is to help people. He said that's what he told his children. He said, "We are all here just to help people." But I'm describing to you the vision that he writes in his book. Okay, I'm not describing to you what he told his children and what he taught his students, maybe even chinuch. I'm just describing a philosophical idea, and the idea would be that we are here to bring God into the world. And that's very much of a Lajan type of idea. It's something that Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about in Halachic Man. And it's also something that I kind of referred to before. The Gra very actually says this almost explicitly. The Gra, benigud to what he says about self-improvement, the Gra says that the purpose of the creation of the world was that God should come and dwell in the world, in this world. In other words, the reason why he created it was so that he would have a place to hang out. That's what he did. And only we can bring God into the world through our mitzvot. Only Jews. We can bring God into the world through our mitzvot, and our Torah, and our tefillah. So in this vision, according to Rav Chaim Avloshin, our ultimate purpose is to bring God into the world. So the focus is no longer on ourselves. Focus is on God. He takes us so far the world, but really God. And I'll tell you why I say really God. He takes us so far that in Shaar Bet, he completely refocuses the purpose of tefillah. See, we simple people think that when we ask God for a refuah shleima, the reason we're asking God for a refuah shleima for ourselves or for our loved ones is because we and our loved ones need a refuah shleima. Silly us. That's what we think, right? Rav Chaim of Elazhin says the reason why we're asking for that is because that's one of the ways that God manifests in the world through refuah, through healing people. And what we're actually begging for is for God to find his way into the world through refuah, through healing, through parnasah, through Yushalayim, through judgment. These are all ways of God kind of infusing himself into the world. And what we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofei Cholim, what we're saying is, Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, what we're saying is, God, please come into the world. We want you to come into the world. We want the sick to be a vehicle for you to come into the world and heal them so that your glory will come into the world and you'll be here. So it's not even about us anymore. We're actually davening for God. Okay. We're davening for God.
Isn't there also an idea that we, by doing that, are kind of like opening a channel?
Yes. Yes, we're opening a channel, and that's the ikar. That's the point. That's what we're actually davening for. We're davening for Hashem in a way. Right now, not for ourselves. We're davening for Him.
Yeah, but was mortuary, because that means that if we don't do that tefillah,
yeah,
then there's no...
That's right. And a churban happens. And then darkness reigns in the world. And there's no light. And God doesn't find his way here. That's what's at stake.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Responsibility.
Right. You should see what he says, yeah. So that's number two. So that takes the focus off of us. We're players in the game, as opposed to being the main focus of the game. We're just players. The last version, okay, is the Rambam. And the Rambam writes in Perek Yud, after describing in Perek Chet and Perek Tet, Olam Haba. He describes in Perek Chet, he describes Olam Haba in glowing terms. He says, you can't even imagine it. It's nothing like this world. There's not physical pleasures. There's no food. There's no drink. There's no sitting. There's no standing. It's just, your soul is just enjoying God. It's sitting in front of God and just enjoying itself. Then he drops this in Perek Yud, in the last Perek of Hilchot Tshuva. A person should not say, I will fulfill the mitzvot of the Torah and occupy myself in its wisdom in order to receive all the blessings which are contained within, or in order to merit the life of the world to come. The Rambam passes Olam Haba as being a motivating factor. He says, that should not be your focus. Similarly, I will separate myself from all the sins which the Torah warned against, so that I will be saved from all the curses contained in the Torah, or that my soul will not be cut off from the life of the world to come. You should not say that. It is not fitting to serve God in this manner. A person whose service is motivated by these factors is considered one who serves out of fear. He is not on the level of the prophets or the wise. Forgive me. The only ones who serve God in this manner are common people, women, and minors. Keep in mind that women of his time were completely uneducated. They are trained to serve God out of fear until their knowledge increases and they serve out of love. The only reason we encourage that kind of behavior in children and in minors, in common people is because that's the way to eventually get them to attain a higher level. But that's not the ikar. One who serves God out of love occupies himself in the Torah and the mitzvot and walks in the paths of wisdom for no ulterior motive, not because of fear that evil will occur, nor in order to acquire benefit. Rather, he does what is true because it is true, and ultimately good will come because of it. This is a very high level, which is not merited by every wise man. It's the level of our patriarch Abraham, whom God described as he who loved me, for his service was only motivated by love. God commanded us to seek this rung of service as conveyed by Moses, stated, love God your Lord. When a man will love God in the proper manner, he will immediately perform all of the mitzvot motivated by love. Yeah, and this is called altruism, right? This is the ultimate altruism. This is to say, I'm going to do what is right because it is right. Just add in the religious element to that because of God.
This is a different way of looking at it.
Well, what did we see so far? We saw a focus on pleasure. We saw a focus on bringing God into the world, for God's sake. Now I think what we're seeing is something somewhat in between, closer to A than to B, but even though the Rambam veers away from A, he veers away.
I'm not sure does he answer the question at all.
We are here.
This is the point where Nefesh Chaim.
This is where my tension came from. Oh yeah, he's not with Nefesh Chaim. This is where my tension comes from, because I don't think the Ramchal is saying. I think he and the Ramchal are definitely not saying the same thing, because the Ramchal focused himself on pleasure, whereas the Rambam
he's focused on what your pop. So he's just saying in the pop. We want to get to a point where we're serving Hashem, we're doing it from a fully altruist. But is he saying that is our purpose? That's what we're supposed to do, but is what we're supposed to do the same thing?
It seems like semantics. I'm not even sure it's semantics. Is what we're supposed to do our purpose?
But then what is the purpose of serving Hashem Me'avo? What's the purpose? What is the end game?
Why did God create us?
No, so I'm saying, yeah.
The end game is to serve God out of love. That's the end game.
That's what he's saying?
Serve God out of love. For the sake of truth, because it's truth. Because the Rambam considers God and truth to be somewhat of the same thing. Not the same thing, but they're kind of in the same way. I think, and now it's hard to read this Rambam because I don't want to quote it again. I always bring up an episode of Friends in this context. Have I brought it up already? I always bring it up, and I quote it too often. There's an episode of Friends where Ross and Phoebe have a machlokas. Okay, Ross claims. I'm not a big aficionado of Friends. I don't actually like the show that much, but I do remember this. Made an impression on me. Ross claims that it is possible to do something completely out of altruism, just because it's the right thing to do. And Phoebe maintains that, no, everybody always has some kind of self-interest involved. You only do things because it makes you feel good, either because morally it makes you feel good, or because you get some kind of benefit physically or psychologically. Oh, you do things because it makes you feel good. That's what she says. So throughout the episode, Ross keeps doing things and then saying to Phoebe, you know, I just did this. And she points out how in some way he actually benefited. All right? The end of the episode is that Joey is doing some kind of celebrity telethon, and he's manning the phones, and he's having trouble, like nobody's calling, and then Ross calls and donates $200 to the cause, and then calls Phoebe and says, you know, I just donated $200 to the cause, and I don't even like the cause. I don't believe in it. But I know that Joey is working hard, and so I donated it because Joey's my friend, and I love Joey, and so that's why I donated it. So it was completely altruistic because I didn't get any benefit. I don't even like this cause, and I just gave $200 to it. And Phoebe said, wow, you know, I guess you're right. That was altruistic. And Ross says, yes, I win. And then Phoebe says, oh, now you lost. You can't. You failed. And Ross says, oh, shoot. Now, whether he had won or not, because, I mean, in the end of the day, he really did seem to benefit from it because he won the argument. And certainly he felt good about it. That's always what I think of when I read this Rambam. How could a person do something only because it's good? There's always some self-interest involved. Now, he brings he says it's hard. And he says, Avram was the one who did it. Avram ohavi. Avram who loves me.
So I have a hard time accepting that there's always some self-interest involved. If someone falls down to the ground and I say, I'm going to give you a hand and help you up, there's nothing in it for me. I've done this out of the kindness of my heart to help this person get off the ground. So that's just a very small example.
So a skeptic would say you did it because you felt bad for him and you don't want to feel bad for him. You don't want to feel bad. And so you do it because it makes you feel good. Either because it makes you feel good or because it makes you not feel bad. That's what a skeptic would say.
I'm questioning your assumption. You're saying that this is what the Rambam is saying. This is the purpose of life.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't see that at all. He's just saying, and this is
the ideal.
As part of this is how we should act in our life. It doesn't necessarily mean this is the purpose of life. This purpose of life might be the getting close to Hashem and it might be the end game.
If that was the purpose, then why would it not be a valid motivating factor, like the Ramchal says?
Because you can't get there. Because even with the Ramchal, you can't get to the place. You can't get your way through to Olam Haba in the best way unless the path you take is the best possible path. And the Ramchal is saying, this is the best way.
If that were the case, then the Ramchal would basically be saying, look, Beinenu, the ultimate prize is the pleasure of Olam Haba. Just don't look at it, okay? Just keep your eyes away from it so that you're not focused on it. But that's really where you're going.
No, he's not talking about the prize.
But, okay, so what's he talking about then? He says a person should not say this. He's quoting Pirkei Avot, of course.
Even though you shouldn't be doing things in order to get the reward at the end of it. And the day, ultimately, the way that you'll get the best reward is by doing things for the sake of doing it, because that is the word of God.
So then what is the purpose?
But ironically, that is the way you get the best reward.
When a father wants his son to learn with him, so he offers him, you know, if you learn with me, then I'll give you a chocolate bar at the end, right? So from the son's perspective, the ultimate goal is the chocolate bar, right?
Okay.
And the father is willing to put up with it because he knows that it's a good way for the kid to learn. Now, why is he willing to put up with it? Because he believes that at some point, the son will come to the conclusion that the learning is more important than the chocolate bar.
Okay.
And that's the Rambam is saying. He's saying, guys, the chocolate bar is not the point. The chocolate bar is great. You'll get the chocolate bar. You will. But that's not the point. What does the father want from the son? The father wants the son to learn because he knows that learning is the best. It's the best ischar. I think what's happening here now, but again, I want to go back. How could you reach this level? So one hint is the Rambam said Avram Ovi, right? It's love. It's all about love. When a person loves someone else, when a spouse really loves, when a husband loves a wife, or a wife loves a husband, so when they do things, it's not always going to be because they want to get, you know, I don't just take out the garbage because I want my wife to cook me a good dinner. That's not how it works, right? I don't only buy flowers because I did something wrong and I want to make up for it, right? Sometimes I buy the flowers because I love her and I want her to feel good. Now, why do I want her to feel good? Is it because that makes me feel good? I may feel good. But I think the answer is that it's a sort of compulsion. I want her to feel good because I'm compelled. I'm compelled that way because that's what love is. It's a compulsion. It means that I am drawn towards doing things to make her feel good because I love her. That's what love is. So to love God, to feel compelled towards God, that seems to be what the Rambam is talking about. That's what we're supposed to be achieving is to feel this love towards God such that we're compelled to do the mitzvot because we can't not do them.
No, but if you're saying the Rambam is saying the purpose of life is to get
to reach the
point
level.
Where if that's what's the whole point of the afterlife?
I don't know.
I don't think he isn't saying this is the purpose of life.
Yeah, he's
saying. Just saying that this is how you should function. This is how you should function. This should be the aim.
But then why are you not allowed to think about it?
No, this is how you should. This is what you should aim to do in this world. There might be something else beyond.
No,
that.
I disagree.
I disagree.
I disagree. I think the purpose of. I'll answer you. I think the purpose of Olam Haba is that, from the Rambam's perspective, it's a very intellectual thing, Olam Haba, right? It's not about pleasure. There may be pleasure involved,
okay,
but it's not about that.
It's not about
the pleasure.
But it isn't. But the. Once you've earned a Mahabal stage, you know, where the woman has this different idea of her own way, anyways. But it's just once you have this after stage where you're no longer doing mitzvahs and stuff necessarily. If for that to exist and for that to be reward and punishment and I don't know because
from the Rambam's perspective, also the mitzvahs are a vehicle. They're a vehicle to reach this truth. But for him, it's the truth that's important, not the pleasure that sits at the end of it.
I'm not sure that's how.
I don't see how you could.
I'm struggling to read it.
I don't see how you could focus. How you could see.
I'm not focusing. I'm trying to say isn't. All it's saying is that the best way of doing avodas Hashem is through Ava. Okay, but it doesn't necessarily mean that is the ultimate purpose of man's existence in this world. I don't know what
the
Rambam is saying.
You're saying that there's nowhere in this quote that it says the purpose of your life is to do.
Yeah, well, I said that. I mean, you're not. It may be that you won't find a sentence like that.
That's what I'm aiming to do in this world. But then I'm not sure why.
No, but I don't know. How can you say that? I can say that. He says. It is not fitting to serve God in this manner. It's not fitting to serve God in this manner.
Okay.
So, in what way is it fitting? So, it's fitting to serve God out of love. What does it mean to serve God out of love? For no ulterior motive.
Okay.
Not because of fear that evil will occur, nor in order to acquire benefit. It is not fitting to serve God in order to acquire benefit, even in Olam Haba. It is not fitting. That's what he says.
Okay.
So, to me, it means that the purpose is not to acquire the benefit of Olam Haba.
No.
Olam Haba serves a purpose.
The best way of acting in this world is to do is be acting altruistically. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there is no benefit.
No, it doesn't. But
if there is a benefit,
but you shouldn't be looking at the benefit.
You personally shouldn't look for it. But big picture, there is a benefit. And because big picture there is a benefit, it's the big picture benefit which is more important.
No, I don't think so. What do you mean? Why? Let me put it this way. I was actually thinking about this today.
No, I think it's saying that you need to be altruistic in what you do, but not. But there is a benefit, but the benefit isn't an aim. Isn't the end?
Isn't the motivator?
It shouldn't
be.
100%. But why is it not the motivator? Because it's not the point.
It's a side effect.
I was thinking of an analogy. Okay. People like to play basketball, right? Mm-hmm. People like to play basketball. Now there could be several reasons why a person, let's say a professional basketball player who's really good, dedicates himself to the game. Mm-hmm. Why would he do that? Mm-hmm. Could do it for one of several reasons. Okay. One reason might be because he wants to win the championship, and he may want to win the championship because that's how you make the most money.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not basketball that he's after. Basketball is just means to the money.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not passing that.
Okay.
So that's what is good.
Players, they say the best players are the ones who really love playing.
Well, no, hold on. So some players, no, I don't know if that's true. It might be that the money is, if money is a great motivator for you, then you'll be the best. And that's why you want to play. So, and that's fine. That okay. That's, at the end of the day for you, the pleasure of the money is the ikar. Mm-hmm. Another person might play because he wants to be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He wants to be a great player. That's his goal. His goal is to be a great player. And another reason where a person might want to play is because he simply loves the game. Mm-hmm. He may not have any hope of ever being a great player. He just loves to play. I had friends like that. They were terrible.
Yeah.
But they couldn't stop playing because they just loved to play.
Okay.
They loved to play the game.
Okay.
I think the Rambam's talking about that last one. You should reach the point where you just love playing this game. You love serving God. Not because you're good at it. Not because you want something out of it, but because you just can't stop.
I think the point is, that the purpose of life? I think we agree with that.
Argument.
But I don't know... Maybe we have to define what purpose means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. If it's not purpose, it's the ideal.
Okay,
it's the ideal way of living.
It's the ideal way of living.
Okay.
The question is, for
me, that's the same thing as purpose.
Because according to the Ramchal, the purpose of living is for what happens after what you're living. 100%. According to the Ramchal is merely describing of what is the best way of living.
Yes.
Is that the purpose of living? I don't know. Is the purpose of living something which comes after living?
So you answer the question. For the Rambam, what is the purpose? Or do you say he has no purpose?
No. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, like, I'm just saying...
Purpose is not expressed over here.
I'm just saying, from this halakha that you have brought, I don't necessarily see anything which conflicts with the Rambam.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
You could say from the standpoint, because the Rambam doesn't say explicit that what you brought so far, the Rambam doesn't say that you shouldn't have these kavanas, which the Rambam says is like only children have kavanah. Okay?
And the Rambam says that's
and
actually
Ramchal
what you should be thinking. It's exactly what you should be thinking.
Okay, but the Rambam might get a more deeper version of. I don't know.
For the Ramchal, this world is just a battleground.
Yeah.
It's a race to get through it as quickly as you can and get the most points on the way. For the Ramchal,
just to get more
so that when you get to the end, you've.
But you have to. But
you have to do it the right way.
And it's very hard to do it the Ramchal way.
Of course. Well, that's because the world is hard. The world is hard. Everybody.
Yeah.
For the Rambam, I don't get the sense. That I very much get the sense that the Olam Haba is not the focus.
But if you go through all of the steps that the Ramchal explains in Mishnah Sharon, do you not? I don't remember. So do you not get to this point where you're serving out of?
There is a serving out of Ahava, of course, but you can't get away from the first chapter. Meaning, he said, even if you get to Ahava, that's only because that's the greatest pleasure.
No, but it's not the greatest.
That's how the Ramchal ends.
The greatest pleasure is the ultimate closest, which you can only be achieved at the end.
And the reason why you should be enticed to do that is because you know that when you reach that level, that's going to be the greatest pleasure. I don't see the Rambam saying that at all.
He's definitely not. Okay, I agree with you. He's not.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to be the same thing, but to say that. The Rambam is saying that the purpose of life. But if you want to redefine now what purpose means,
right,
we can do that. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe Rambam wrote a lot of stuff, and you know a lot more about the Rambam than I do. So maybe.
I think this is pretty representative of the point that I'm trying to get across from what he says. I don't think there's anywhere that he says anything that contradicts this. And I think it very clearly differentiates it from the Ramchal. That's all. I'm sure there's a lot more to say. I think we're going to stop here for tonight. This was kind of a general idea, right? This isn't going to, you know, when you get down to brass tacks, this is not going to help you figure out what you should do tomorrow, right? It gives you kind of a world view. It gives you a, you know, the substratum of your life. You know, how should you view yourself philosophically? It gives you the, you know, the maybe the will to wake up in the morning. But it's not going to give you, you know, well, what should I do? How am I different from you? How are we different from each other? What are my children and what should I have my children do? What should my parents do? Like, it doesn't tell you, you know, aside from, you know, 613 things that we were told explicitly to do, it doesn't tell me what I should do the rest of the time. It doesn't, you know. So there's still that lacking. Is there anything for me? Am I just another, you know, ball of flesh that should be, you know, in the rat race of this world that should be trying to elevate, or is there more to it than that? Hopefully, next time we'll start talking about that. Hopefully, we'll have stuff for that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody.